The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Professor Evan Ellis, who's traveling. He's on the island of Bonaire. Looks gorgeous. It's off the coast of Venezuela, which is not attractive. Venezuela is a rogue state under the administration of a dictator, Maduro. However, importantly, there are conditions in Venezuela that are alarming for transnational threats, not only its coordination with the Axis, that powers, that would be Moscow, Beijing, Tehran, Pyongyang, but domestic threats that are now transnational. I'm thinking of the suddenly spectacular story of the Tren de Aragua. This is a gang that has penetrated the United States in major cities. I'm looking at, according to the Daily Mail, New York, Chicago, and parts of Texas. Houston is mentioned. Miami's under threat. Different cities across the country. Tren de Aragua, the reputation is that it was born in a prison in Aragua province, which the professor has guided me to understand is outside of Caracas. Professor, is this new? I've just discovered the scale of this. Or have the authorities been working with local authorities for some time to suss out these gangsters who have crossed into the United States with apparently without vetting? Is it new?
No, John, this has been going on for quite some time, but it continues to evolve. And certainly the fact that Tren de Aragua has now established itself in multiple U.S. cities with its high levels of violence, that's gotten at least some political attention in Washington. But the quick story, basically under just the complete neglect of law enforcement that occurred under Hugo Chavez and later Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela. And then, of course, later some of the collaboration with some of the different criminal groups that you also saw there. A Venezuelan prison gang, again, in Torcajon prison in the Department of Aragua, they became very powerful initially in Venezuela doing extortions and violence and things like that. But then as more and more Venezuelans in the late 2010s started leaving the country, initially leaving towards Colombia through Cucuta, finding their way down into Ecuador, Peru, and in Chile, Tren de Aragua basically exploited the vulnerability and desperation of those Venezuelans and basically followed them with human trafficking networks, sexual exploitation, other types of trafficking. And indeed, they begin establishing themselves in cells in the cities where there are large numbers of Venezuelans, again, in places like Lima, Peru, and in places like Bogota, Colombia, and oftentimes using their violence, motorcycle assassinations, other things to essentially scare away or dominate the other criminals that they found there. And so as you've had a total of now over 8 million Venezuelans leaving the country. As more and more of those Venezuelans, of course, have come to the United States, about a million in the United States by the most recent estimate that I've seen. Just like Tren de Aragua basically followed and exploited Venezuelan desperate migrants in the Andean countries, they've begun doing so in the United States. They've established themselves in El Paso and various parts of Texas, in New York, in Chicago, possibly in Dallas. There's some reports. Essentially, it's the same playbook. It's following desperate migrants, getting involved in their exploitation through sex trafficking and other things, using violent intimidation tactics to essentially terrorize whoever the established gangs in the area that they take over. And one of the things that's of concern is not only are Venezuelans coming into these areas in large numbers, and so they basically have a sea of desperate people of their own country that they can do this in. But in addition to that, they're a lot better organized than some of the other violent gangs we've had to deal with in the United States before, such as Mara Salvatrucha, MS-13, and Barrio 18, which had a certain level level of organization, but the rate of penetration by Tren de Aragua and the level of violence, I think, is taking those concerns to a new level.
And Venezuela. The conditions there have not changed since we last talked. The government has disenfranchised the opposition. I believe they're still pursuing and arresting. There are a lot of protests about those being held in jail. The winner of the contest remains in Spain, saying he will return in January. At the same time, the former oil minister, the Lebanese descendant, is no longer the oil minister. He was the principal of Aragua province. I have to believe, in some fashion, dots connect between Tehran, the IRGC, the Hezbollah, Tren de Aragua, Maduro. Do these dots connect, Professor?
They actually connect in far too many different ways, some of which create concerns of terrorism, some organized crime, some just political scheming. But one of the things in general that you're seeing is that with all of the pressure against Maduro, there's a lot of dissatisfaction among Maduro. It's just that the Venezuelan security forces and others are so penetrated by Cuban intelligence, and they're so fearful of liability of what they've done if there is ever a transition to democracy that everyone is kind of looking at each other. And yet no one dares to defect from Maduro. And so the latest part of the drama is, and literally just 2 weeks ago, the head of their National Electoral Commission, Elvis Amoroso, who certified the fraudulent results that Maduro was proclaiming, showed up looking for exile in Spain. And so the latest, yet another person, there was a cabinet reshuffle. They got rid of the former oil minister, Tariq Al-Assami, who, as you alluded to, also has ties for basically being part of the Venezuelan Lebanese mafia and orchestrating some of the relationships with Hezbollah, but also for criminal reasons. But apparently they decided that that Tariq Al-Assami had been too much on the take with Bitcoin and crypto money and basically stealing Venezuelan oil revenues. And so they replaced him. Tellechea had been a person that was seen as more administrative and reliable. But at the end of the day, they moved Tellechea over to a ministry called the Ministry of Industry and National
Production. We have 1 minute, Professor, 1 minute.
But apparently Tellechea, like many others, has fallen out with Madurismo. It's not clear whether he was seen as disloyal, but the formal charge was that he had supposedly given an important contract for a system to a U.S. company, which that Maduro claims was affiliated with U.S. intelligence services. And so they've now basically jailed him, and they've put the person, Alex Saab, who was just returned from the United States because of his criminal ties, back in touch with that ministry, which surely will give Saab more opportunities to continue to rob money and pilfer things in the Ministry of National Production. So it's a lot of deck chairs, I think, as the supporters Maduro get nervous.
Professor Evan Ellis, we're headed to Mexico and Argentina. Maybe good news in Argentina.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.